Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And then good.
Strong music choice today from Drew, actually.
Interesting variety.
But they're definitely, it's definitely all over the place. It's definitely some throwback stuff. This is just the mood you're in. I like it. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to a hypothetical Chiefs trade. We'll also get an update, thinking of Drew, on his apartment situation.
My God, it just never ends, does it?
We've been following this thing and Drew's journey for 3 weeks at least. Really, it's a couple months of the, if you go way back, but really the last 2 or 3 weeks.
I thought we were getting to Drew's the point where we were getting closer journey to figuring it out, but we're evidently still attempting to be charged.
They're trying to wear you down.
Yeah, so we'll find out.
I think
out.
You'll give up.
We'll find out what the latest is, because I'm not even sure of the full story yet. But I wanted to start with Caitlin Clark, because for starters, she has signed a record endorsement deal with Nike. Now we have more. We heard 8-figure. Now we know $20 million. So the report that I just saw in the last hour, $20 million endorsement deal with Nike, plus a signature shoe. And she's not the first WNBA player to get a signature shoe, but it'll
she's
be
one of very few.
It's going to be one that's going to probably sell out immediately. Her jersey for the Indiana Fever sold out within 12 hours or so of getting drafted. So she had her introductory press conference like anybody would when you get drafted.
Big media showing, logical.
Yeah. And a longtime Indianapolis columnist, Greg Doyle, I think he's also written for CBS Sports in the past. He's actually a very good writer, clearly is.
Well respected.
Yeah. He had an exchange yesterday that's gone viral. And look, I'll state this before anybody freaks out on the text line. No, he should not be fired for this exchange. I just think it's a little weird and creepy, to say the least.
It at least comes off that way.
But for context, at the beginning, you'll hear him say, hey, what do you think of this or something? And he's doing the heart, right? We've seen plenty of athletes do, but Caitlin Clark, every game. So that's the context of the question he's asking. And you can hear it for yourself.
Hi. Caitlin, Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine.
So, start doing it to me and we'll get along just fine. That's the line.
That's the sinker. The rest of it is just weird and uncomfortable, and I'm like, I don't know why you're doing this. And explained away by what he says is weird and uncomfortable moments all the time. That last line is where people are like, okay, you can't say that.
It's just, honestly, for me, it's not like it's not a great radio take, but it's just weird and creepy. That's really where
you
I'm at,
like,
on it.
It'd be easier if you could just come on and be like, fire him.
Yeah, no.
Suspend
he
him.
Need to be fired.
He sexually harassed everyone in that room. I don't feel those things, but no. I also know that I don't like the excuse making of I'm just awkward or this is how I treat everyone. The idea of like you should treat everyone with respect, I agree with. You cannot run into every situation and every person the same in life. That's not how life works. And so I didn't like the article part of it. That probably bothered me the most out of any of it, that he like turned it into click on this article where I apologize. I didn't think that was necessary. Just apologize and move on. because it was weird and it was creepy. And I'm with you. I don't think that there's in any way he needs to be punished or anything.
Yeah,
with
simply
it.
It's just it's
uncomfortable. It makes me so uncomfortable.
It's just weird and creepy. That I mean, that's just like what it's just a weird and awkward and creepy interaction.
I like that you're here.
Like that part too. But that's where I'm at with it. Like I've seen some people immediately rush and say he needs to be let go. He can't be riding there anymore. That seems a bit much for me for somebody to call for his job based off of that comment. Now again, I'll be very clear. It is weird and super creepy.
It's her first press conference as a member of this team. She's the single biggest female star on the planet right now. You got a huge opportunity to make a great impression. As you know how this works, there's a couple of columnists at the major paper, at a star, in a big city, like at the Star, right? There's a couple of people who are columnists. They get to write more freely, more opinion-based things. It doesn't just have to be nuts and bolts. There's a little more freedom in it. It's kind of nice. And by all accounts, people do respect him well and speak highly of him. But like, he bombed this.
For sure.
He deserves to be made fun of for this. I'm sorry. If I had a giant, big, embarrassing public thing, everyone would come after me too, and I wouldn't be surprised by it. The biggest thing I had a problem with was the article. Because the article spends more time saying, I talk to everyone this way, and anyone will tell you that I'm awkward, and this is just who I am, and I was trying to treat everyone fairly and equally, and then at the very end, the last three lines are like, I was wrong, I was definitely wrong, sorry, Caitlin. It felt like it spent too much time being all the, like, excuse-making of the behavior, including, like, hey, this is the process I went through. And there was a lot of, like, anger. Why are people mad at me? And I didn't do anything wrong. And, all, you know, it spent too much time on that and not enough time on just saying sorry for being really creepy to somebody. And you maybe didn't mean to be creepy, but you were. Drew didn't mean to be creepy when he said daddy earlier, but when he said it,
it's still
we all
creepy.
Felt weird.
It's still creepy.
It didn't change the feeling we all
people
had.
Can have a response. Nobody, again, I think it's crazy to say he should be fired or anything like that, but doesn't mean people can't have an opinion on how creepy and awkward the dude was asking. And
I like that you're here. That line in particular isn't kind of a funny line, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I just... What the hell were you thinking?
I don't know, man. Just one of those moments I'm sure he wish he could walk back. Like, it just, you know,
I would hope.
A million times over.
Yeah.
Firing seems kind of crazy.
Yeah. Now, if there's another interaction that is making...
Well, if it continues, adjust your behavior.
That's a whole different thing. But, yeah, I don't think he should be... and it sounds like, as of now, there isn't going to be any repercussions other than public backlash and...
Yeah.
Embarrassing for you. Should be embarrassing for him as well. If you're Caitlin Clark, it puts you in an awkward spot.
I will say, PR advice I would give to any person anytime they get in any kind of like public trouble with this for speaking is disappear for just disappear for a week. Don't put out articles, don't show up on radio interviews talking about the incident. Like, I'll be honest, if this happened to a columnist here, you and I'd probably reach out to the person and be like, want to talk about it? You should not come on with us. You should pass. You should say, I'm going to try. You should not agree to that interview. Just disappear for a week. Just go away.
The reason why he's taken more heat publicly on social media, though, Greg Doyle, is because he's a very good columnist, but he has written some columns. Attacking is the wrong word. But certainly going after, I would say, some other individuals in media over the last couple years.
Oh, really?
For their conduct. And so when you do that, then you open yourself up when you slip up. I'm talking about, he wrote a column about Dan Dockich and some other people. Right?
Dockich does suck.
But I'm just saying.
In Greg Doyle's defense, that guy does suck.
But I'm just saying. So, like, that's the, if you're going to do that, then people are going to come after you if you have a instance like this.
He just had some, people were digging up old tweets, too. Like, the one from 2010.
About LeBron. He wrote a column about LeBron. Go ahead and read it. Yeah.
This is a tweet from him about a column he wrote in 2010 that said, just realized my LeBron column references masturbation, gangbangs, and oral sex.
He's just a
damn
weirdo.
Untwisted. That's just
a weirdo. He's a weirdo. He's a weirdo.
He might just be, yeah. I mean, look, I don't know him personally, so I can't.
Neither do I.
But he's giving me that vibe.
Drew, that's your hometown, man. Do you know him?
I've never met him personally.
But you guys never? You were working in sports? I guess you weren't working in sports when you were in Indy.
Okay, so I've never introduced myself to him, I guess, or we've never spoke to each other. I've been in the same room as him.
Okay.
You know, we've exchanged, every now and then I'd comment on a story that he wrote.
Did he say he was glad you were there?
No.
Oh, okay.
But he...
This is his reputation as being kind of awkward.
His reputation has been a little awkward, but in the same light as, you know, as you guys talked about earlier, he also has a reputation for being a solid. He covers sports in a way that is unique, I would say, compared to other people.
I think that's what makes a great columnist.
Yeah,
but you know, unfortunately, my introduction to him, it was this really awkward press conference.
As far as Caitlin Clark, as I said, $20 million endorsement deal with Nike. Signature shoe on the way that I'm sure will be extremely popular. That's why they're willing to put together a $20 million endorsement deal. She's as marketable of an athlete as we've seen in a very long time. And I just saw in the last 20 minutes that another team that happens to be, you know, having a game against her team, they're already changing venues to a bigger venue because everybody's trying to capitalize. And smart. Yeah. You don't know how long it's going to last, but right now,
as many butts in the seats as you can.
Absolutely. You know, and next year, you know, will the college game have the same excitement around it? I don't think so. I don't know how it can, but does it mean that it still can't grow because of what she did? I think that's pretty clear. The game grew because of Caitlin Clark. How much does it, you know, settle back? What's the real, I will say, like, what's the average ratings now? They'll be higher than they ever were.
Yep.
But what does that settle? You know, 18, 19 million. No, it's not going to be on the next year, but is the new number 8 or 10?
Because that would be double what it was 2 years ago.
Right. And that's what we don't know yet. You know, how many people that were watching her in the Final Four are going to watch one game of the WNBA, which is still more than anybody ever watched, maybe, but how many of them are sticking with it after? And that's something we don't have an answer to.
The biggest thing she did for women's sports is she gave everyone the ammunition they needed, because the ammunition has always been, it's not that people won't watch it, it's that you're not putting it somewhere people can watch. You're not advertising it, you're not promoting it, and you're not putting it on places people can find. And if you do that, people will watch our sports. That was the whole point. And, I mean, look, it could just be that Caitlin Clark is so generational, you had no choice but to tune in for what she was doing. But no matter what,
for
I'd be
a lot
surprised
of people,
the
that's
numbers
what
go
it was.
Down. I know,
yeah.
But again, if you hold on to any portion of that, like golf, right? Golf probably held on to a portion of that Tiger Woods audience. When it all came storming in, look, they lose some over time, but all you got to do is maintain the people and keep promoting the sport. It's been... Her whole run has been incredible. The ratings across the board, the deal she's making with Nike, all that stuff is amazing.
Now, let's get back to the draft a little bit, though. Next Thursday night, we're going to be at the Landing. We keep telling you about that. It's going to be a ton of fun. Landing in Liberty, Character Concerns crew going to be doing their live show. All of us are going to be up there. A chance to win $610 if you fill out a draft form and you pick the draft correctly, plus some Chiefs merchandise. It's going to be a great night. Could a trade happen on draft night, though? There's one hypothetical that's very aggressive from NFL.com.
Just a touch.
Involving the Chiefs and the Chicago Bears, and the Chiefs going all the way up to, not number one, number nine in the draft. This year's number 9 overall pick would become the Chiefs. The Chiefs would give up their 32nd overall pick this year in the first round, this year's second round pick, this year's fourth round pick, and next year's first round pick, which hopefully would also be pick 32. Based on the trade chart, right, that determines a lot of this, that's a trade that would be realistic. Now it's a premium even to move up 23 spots, and that's so difficult. Here's the reason for it. They claim in this hypothetical, you do that to find the Travis Kelce successor, and they have the Chiefs drafting Brock Bowers as clearly the number one tight end in this year's draft class. Look, I'm never a fan of mortgaging a ton of picks. I'm not saying
that's a trade up, man.
Right? Like, I'm not saying that you can't ever trade up, you know, 5 to 8 spots. It's kind of the range that I'd be willing to go. You know, they traded up for McDuffie. They didn't trade up 15 spots.
Traded
to get
up more
McDuffie.
Than 8 to get Mahomes.
Right. Yeah. Well, they, for a quarterback, not for a tight end. Right. Yeah. You know, it's different. Any team should be willing to mortgage the future for a quarterback. That's different, but not a tight end. And if you told me that you had a conversation with, if Brett Veach had a conversation with Travis Kelce and Travis Kelce flat out said, "Hey, this is it. Keep it quiet. But this is my last year," I would at least give it a remote bit of consideration. In general, though, trading up to get a tight end seems like a dumb idea.
I assume you saw what the New Heights estimate it was for a
$100 million podcast deal is coming from.
Uh-huh.
Crazy.
Yep. And they're a 2-person show. So, I mean, I get it. They're not going to each just like pocket $50 million. But the post Travis Kelce playing career stuff, it's harder for me to make the argument that he'll play for 4 more years when I know he could just write out the rest of his contract for 2 and have a $100 million podcast deal to just go jet set with his incredible girlfriend with $50 million. Seems like that'd be a pretty good life. Seems like that'd be an easy thing, especially if you win another Super Bowl this year, to walk away from. I actually don't think this idea is as crazy as you think. And I think it's for the reason I had mentioned to Matt Verderam. the Chiefs, and it doesn't have to be this year, but if Odunze was available at 9 and they were willing to make this trade, I'd make it.
Well, that's different than a tight end, though, right?
It is, but it's the same concept, okay. Right? I'm putting a superior weapon around Patrick Mahomes. I'm just choosing the weapon I'd rather it be,
sure,
versus the guy that's there. Because if Travis Kelce's gone, just as long as I have a different elite weapon, I'll figure out a way to make that work. The reason why I would be willing to take that kind of swing sometime in the next 1 to 3 years, if I'm the Chiefs, is for the same reason you mentioned with quarterback. Like, well, for quarterback, it's worth making these big swings to change the course of your franchise. But if you're the Chiefs, because you already have the franchise quarterback, I would actually argue you can more afford this risk. If you go up and you end up getting an all-pro caliber wide receiver for that swing, you will never care about that first-round pick next year. It'll never set you back that far. It can only set you back so far because you have Patrick Mahomes. It might delay you for a year or two, but it can't bury you. With other teams, if you're a quarterback and you go up, it can bury you. You get it wrong, you go up, you trade up all those picks, you sell the farm, it might end you. If you're the Chiefs and you trade up because Odunze is available at 9 and they'll take this deal, you give up a first next year, this year's first, a second, and a fourth. You're an unstoppable freight train.
Changing the hypothetical to have Odunze or somebody instead of Brock Bowers.
Get you more interested.
Definitely more interested. Just trading for a tight end to go up 23 spots or whatever.
That's tough.
Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me at all. I think the real zone of trading up is go from 32 to like 20 at the most, you know, and that has to be, I agree with Matt. If you're trading up, it sure seems like you're trading up for a wide receiver, not trading up for anybody else.
Again, if it were Bowers because he like sank to number 20, then we're probably having a different conversation. Right.
Sure. There's always different scenarios that change. Yeah. If Bowers it's not going to happen.
It'd be Brian Thomas.
If Odunze was there at 12 or 15, it's a whole different conversation as well.
Yeah. I just don't like at first when I think people see it, they're like, get out of here. And NFL.com put it out as like, these are trades that make sense for both sides. I actually don't think that's wrong because the Bears do need to trade
for a tight end, Cody. Like, we just had the article the stat yesterday, 2 days ago.
It's the tight end part of it is what hangs me up.
First round tight ends.
Not crazy.
First round tight ends just usually don't have a ton of success.
Over the last 15 years, they have 0 all pros and 1,000 yard season. It was Kyle Pitts in his rookie year.
And Laporta was the second round pick.
Yeah. And we've made the point before, which I think is true, which is, part of the reason they don't have any all pros is because Travis Kelce exists and George Kittle exist. So it's hard to be an all pro. There's Pro Bowls. There's good receiving yardage. There's good players who have had good seasons, certainly, that were first round picks. Plenty of busts, but that's every first round pick. Tight end seems a lot riskier. I'll tell you right now, if they went up and took a wide receiver in the top 9, I'm pretty convinced that guy's going to work. And I'll be honest, the reason why it's so appealing is I want you to imagine for 1 year, they go up to 9 and it is Rice, Odunze, Hollywood Brown, Travis, that's the number one offense in the league. That might be a record setting off. That's not just the number one offense.
Again,
in the
I'm
that might be
on
one of the
receiver.
Best offenses in NFL history.
I'm way more on board for one of the top 3 wide receivers in the draft. That you can talk me into. In general, I typically think we've seen the track record though of Brett Veach and how good he is drafting. It's like, hey, I want to give the guy as many opportunities.
I've said that,
Like, I want to give the guy as many opportunities as possible to go have a successful draft.
If they trade up, Matt Verderam did mention that earlier. So if they trade up, you think it's wide receiver too?
I do as much as
even if they trade up, not to 9. Let's take that out of that equation.
Yeah, but just
a normal trade up.
Yeah, because I want them to take a tackle. I have for a while, but I also recognize it is probably unlikely they're going from 32 to 20 to get a tackle. Mm-hmm. Could they go 32 to 27? I haven't looked. I can't remember who has picked 27. The Bills are right around there. But so
I think Arizona's got Houston's 27.
Okay. All right. So that's a team that would be willing to trade with you. Not the Bills, but so maybe something like that. But if you look at the potential tackles, it's a deep tackle draft as well. After Joe Alt and a few of the other names, if those guys don't slip, Joe Alt's not slipping, but there's a few other ones that could go to 19 or 20. After that, I don't think you need to trade up to get a tackle. I think you fall in love probably more if you're Brett Veach with trading up for a wide receiver than you are a tackle.
Yeah, someone's like, if they went up to 9, they should just take Alt. It's like,
Joe Alt's going to go before 9, I think.
He's probably going 5 or 6.
Probably. And so, even if it was Alt was available at 9.
Trading it for a 10. Well, that was what you guys said
earlier.
See,
that's what, like, kind of swing doesn't feel worth it. Like, even if they get it right, and he's a Pro Bowl caliber left tackle, And he's still, I get it. 10 years, great left tackle. That probably a benefit there. Ooh, I'm not saying.
So that's where I disagree. If you can, I disagree.
I'd rather an elite level wide receiver at nine than elite level.
That just goes back to like the sexiness of drafting a wide receiver. Because if you, what you just laid out, if you told me that I can trade up and give up two first round picks, basically,
and either is elite,
and you're guaranteeing me that even that offensive tackle is a future all pro. Well, then of course I'm taking.
But what if it's an all pro wide receiver? Who would you rather have?
Well, all pro wide receiver. Yeah.
That's what I was saying. I wasn't saying if he was good. Okay. I'm just saying if it were between the two and I knew it was going to be either an all pro tackle or all pro wide receiver. Receiver.
Yeah, of course. It's the sexier position and all that. But yeah. I'm just saying that looking at all the out of 32 picks, there's going to be a decent chunk of the draft that are going to turn out to be bust. It happens every year. And so if you can guarantee, even if I'm trading away multiple picks, that the guy I draft is a future all pro, you're always signing up for that.
I would just make the argument that when you're a team that already has this level of success, you can actually afford the risk greater than most teams. Like you can, no team does it that way, funny enough, because you also don't have to take the risk, because there's the both sides of that coin. You don't actually have to take the risk. You're already great. You just stay where you are, draft like normal, you'll keep being great. But you can afford the risk because it's less likely to bury you. I always go back to, because it's the best example of it, the Julio Jones trade. They were already a good team with weapons, and then they were like, nah, we want that guy. He's great. We're going to go get Julio Jones, and we're going to load up. And Matt Ryan won an MVP. Not that Patrick Mahomes can just win an MVP anyway, but, you know, he could have a historically great offense or a million other things.
Yeah. Look, if we're sitting there Thursday at the landing, we're hanging out. And
they traded nine?
And it's pick nine. The Chiefs are suddenly on the clock. Well, it better be for Odunze if he's available or somebody like that. If they're moving all the way up to nine, that's for sure.
What's the highest you think the Chiefs would trade up to?
18. I just don't think.
I'm not even sure that. I'm thinking like 20s.
I think 18 is the peak. I think realistically, if they trade up, it's 24 to 28. But
well, they're not trading to 18. That's the Bengals. 19 with the Rams is your new answer.
If you give us Rashee Rice, you can come all the way up to 18.
Rashee Rice,
come all the way up to 18.
What's with these unrealistic trade? You thought
you're like the worst fantasy football guy. No one's giving you that.
Every trade is getting the quick decline. The quick decline. You talked about Justin Jefferson for T. Higgins straight up at one point. What's some of the trade stuff? Cincinnati. I get what you want. What's realistic?
You guys brought up you said 18.
I said they wouldn't trade.
Bengals. I'm just saying if it was to 18, that's
you're
what
saying
it
that's the only way you're trading with the Chiefs. That's a loser's mentality, by the way. Afraid of what somebody else is going to do. If you get the right value, you shouldn't care who you're trading with. Has always been my stance.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a loser's mentality of the Bengals to be like, well, you better give me way more than it's worth if I'm trading with you because you're going to hurt me.
Now, would we agree? What's more likely, though, that the Chiefs trade up even 2, 3, 4 spots or they trade down 6 spots because a team wants to, you know, get in and get a quarterback at pick 32? I still think trade down.
I think it depends on
trade out of the first round.
Well, yeah, if we're talking, if they trade up for a wide receiver, I think it's more likely that they trade up in this scenario because based on what we've seen, I think it seems like there will be way more tackles drafted than wide receivers just in terms of how recent mocks have gone. It seems like it's very tackle heavy in the first round. And then there's some wide receivers who were maybe in the first round that slipped out. Xavier Leggett, Ladd McConkey, Troy Franklin, Keon Coleman, all were first round guys. Now they're not getting mocked into the second. And of course, it's a mock. It's not the actual thing. But if you know or think you can get A.D. Mitchell at 26 or 27 and he's your guy, then I think you have to do it. Where tackle might already be gone if you sit there and you wait. Yeah.
Total offensive lineman drafted in the first round. We can do these next week, but over under is set at 9.5. The over is -225. That over 9.5 offensive lineman will be drafted in the first round. That's not just tackles; could be some guards.
Offensive line plays really bad in the league.
And wide receiver over under is 6.5. So, and it's +190. That's over. So most people think 6 or less wide receivers to go in the first round. Coming up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll get an update on Drew's apartment situation and more and more of those details around the controversy and ultimately banning from the NBA that Jonte Porter just dealt with.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on What's Trending, the Royals are off today. Then they start up a homestand tomorrow night against the Baltimore Orioles out of Kauffman Stadium. The Royals 12-7 on the season, a 500 road trip wrapped up yesterday in Chicago. Alec Marsh will get the nod tomorrow night for the 640 first pitch right here on 610 Sports Radio.
Next up on, I can't wait for some Royals baseball. You kidding? 500? I'll take a 500 road trip. Next up on What's Trending, J.K. Dobbins officially signs a one-year deal to go to the Chargers, reuniting him, with Greg Roman, his former offensive coordinator. They had a Gus Edwards as well. Obviously, Austin Ekeler is no longer a Charger. They got plans to build out the running game there in L.A. For Justin Herbert, this is the move they're planning on. Good. High upside guy. Neither of us had a problem with Dobbins here in a one-year deal. They ended up going Clyde Edwards-Helaire instead. Sure seemed like when they called Dobbins in, it was exactly what Mitchell Schwartz described it as, which was, hey, there are other running backs if you don't like the number that we're offering. He's like, all right, fine, I'll sign here.
Seems like it, doesn't it? It definitely does. Next on What's Trending, some transfer news in college basketball. Kansas landing, according to multiple reports, a transfer from Wisconsin. A.J. Storr, a guard, one of the top available players right now in the portal, 6'7". Entered the portal late March, became one of the more sought-after perimeter options. Second team All Big Ten, averaged 16.8 points, 3.9 rebounds. KU has now added 3 transfers since the season ended, joining South Dakota State's Zeke Mayo, who's from Lawrence, and Florida's Riley Kugel.
I mean, at this point, you have to assume that Kansas will be a top 3 team, AP top 25, with AJ Storr, Hunter Dickinson, and DeJuan Harris.
They need one
at
more.
At least out of 4 they out of their 5.
More. They need one more perimeter shooter. One more perimeter shooter.
Yeah, based on last year, maybe a couple of more. Next up on What's Trending, the Royals officially optioned Nick Lofton to AAA. The expectation is that it'll be Michael Massey coming up to the big leagues, although they said that that roster move will be announced at a later date. It's got to be Massey.
Yeah.
But Nick Lofton opted to AAA. It is technically the first official move the Royals have had to make on their roster in any way. And if you're asking yourself, hey, why not Garrett Hampson or why not Adam Frazier? Neither of them have options to the minor, so they couldn't send them down. Their options were, in that case, to cut those players. Teams do not typically cut players 19 games into the season for depth reasons.
No, you don't,
other reasons, too, but depth in particular.
You don't want to DFA those guys this early in the season. That wouldn't make any sense. Next up on What's Trending, NBA play-in tournament continues tomorrow night. Then the actual postseason gets underway on Saturday. But tomorrow night, the winner, these are win or go home type of games. You have the Bulls taking on the Heat and the Kings and the Pelicans. It's been fun to watch. Last night was enjoyable. Play-in tournament. I've enjoyed watching these. Again, it's fun when there's a lot on the line. It turned out to be a great idea for Adam Silver. Another year of these play-in tournaments. Add some more intrigue. Everything
wild card
on the line.
Baseball always works. I don't know what took so long to be like, hey, are one-off games super exciting and fun? Yes.
Big time.
Turns out, versus everyone being a seven-game series.
Although Jimmy Butler is going to be out for a while, so if the Heat were to win and continue, he's not going to be available, it looks like, for the first series. So they're
against the Celtics.
Probably toast anyway. The Celtics are heavy favorites to come out of
but
the Eastern Conference.
But without Jimmy Butler, it ain't ever going to happen.
Right.
Lastly, on What's Trending, don't forget to come join us out at the Landing in Liberty. 1 week from today will be the Landing in Liberty for our draft party, where you can go out there. You can go to 610sports.com right now, print out a form, and predict what will take place in the draft. You could choose what happens at what number and to what team. You get points depending on how many of those you get right. The winner will receive $610 in cash and some autographed Chiefs memorabilia. You do not have to be there the whole time for the draft, but you got to at least turn that bad boy in person at the Landing before.
Yeah, it'd be fun. Looking forward to that. Character Concerns crew doing their show. So Bink will be up there. We'll all be up there hanging out a little bit in Liberty. Before we get to an update real quick on Drew's apartment situation, I did want to follow back up something that broke during our show, but we had a short show yesterday, mm-hmm. so we didn't get to dive into the Jontay Porter situation. It's been a huge story, of course, and for those that haven't been following it as closely, the NBA banned Raptors, Jontay Porter, forever, right? A lifetime ban for gambling on NBA games, gambling violations, including
against
that
his own team.
He disclosed confidential information to bettors, limited his participation in at least one game while he was with the Raptors, and bet on NBA games while playing in the G League. The FBI, of course, is interested in this. So is the Department of Justice because of the circumstance involving this. The specific details are that somebody else bet $80,000 on a same game parlay that had unders on Jontay Porter's stats, which would have won $1.1 million. He played 3 minutes, left the game with a illness. Now, the bet was placed at DraftKings. It was never paid out. Red flags were set off. And that's the thing you and I said yesterday. Like, if you were to just script out the most obvious sketch gambling scheme in pro sports, he's an idiot.
His props weren't even available most of the time. He started getting more minutes because they traded players away.
Yeah.
So his props finally become available and you bet $80,000 to win $1.2 million and he leaves the game? Yeah.
Nobody's betting on Jontay Porter props. Then add in, you bet unders on them, which is also just less popular.
And
just,
then the amount.
And then 80 grand. So that, you were always going to get caught with that. And you and I have gone back and forth, but this is acknowledged and came to light based off of it getting flagged through a legal method. If he would have done this on Bovada, we don't even know about this. No. And that there is truth to that. I know people get upset, but that is just a fact. Now, it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen again. This will not be the last player. I can almost promise you there will be another story. The hope is, as time goes on, that there's more education. And if you're a 19-year-old kid and eventually you make it to the pros, you just know that the punishment is so severe that you're not going to do it when you get to the professional ranks, right? The money is not worth it. Going to prison, maybe. All of that hopefully deters. And that's why the NBA had to lay down the law. What I think has to happen, though, and what really needs to be discussed is something, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago we discussed on the show, which was college player props. The player prop market, and for those that don't know, we're talking, you know, over-under on points, rebounds, steals, whatever. That market is just way more susceptible and harder to track from a cheating standpoint because there's so many players and betting options. It's just a lot tougher than, someone trying to fix a game. It's also much more challenging for a player to fix a -6.5 than their own shot. Take a baseball player. Their total bases is over under 1.5. He could strike out 3 times a night and is wait. How are you going to know? You know what I mean? So it's tougher to gauge props specifically at college though. Don't you think that's the market where you could get rid of props?
The problem is money. It's much easier just financially to get to a college player. The reason why Jontay was doing that, not just because he was like, yeah, it'd be fun to mess with the betting markets. It's because in his total career, he's made like $1.5 million. He's made so little in his career, the temptation to, I can make my entire damn annual salary in one single bet is too great. I do think though, it's like, but at that point, then why even let us bet college sports at all? Like, yeah, I mean, look, like, so I do get it. I understand both sides of it and, like, the negatives. But people get in the DMs of professional athletes, too. Both are paid now.
Yeah, so the thought around so, the...
Do you just get rid of props altogether? Do you get rid of college sports altogether? We don't let people bet on high school sports.
Well, thank goodness.
You and I can't go put money on Winnetonka High School.
Yeah, so, no, like, the player props, you said it, there's... It's easier to influence in college because of the money aspect. A college kid at a smaller school that's maybe only making on NIL, like, 50 grand... He has a chance to make $1 million. That's going to be pretty tempting for some 19-year-old kid or whatever.
I'd be honest, I would have done it in that case.
So that's the concern. Then you mentioned the harassment part in DMs. Not that it's okay to harass anybody, but there's a perception always of, you're harassing 18, 19, 20-year-old kid versus 30-year-old that's making 10 million.
But then we should get rid of college recruiting, you know? Like, it's so hard. It's such a slippery slope, you know?
Sure, but one thing you can maybe regulate. Like, I don't know how you're going to really regulate the
college recruiting
versus their state laws, at least. Yeah. Look, I think the college prop market would be an area where they could adjust. But also what you were suggesting, which is, my same argument of why we catch these instances because of legal markets. If someone wants to bet on college props deep down and is diehard enough and crazy enough to go harass a 19-year-old kid, they'll just go bet overseas on Bovada or something and they'll still do it.
And they'll still get shut down because Bovada will not give you the money because they'll be like, this looked weird. Here's your cash back. Because you got even less safety, by the way, in going in and overseas about negotiating whether or not a bet was fair than you do with a legal betting market in the U.S. And so it's, look, it's not perfect. I think that they caught people before legal betting. You know, they caught Pete Rose. But it takes, like, busting an illegal betting market like Ipe, right? For instance, like, you can still get busted in illegal betting circles. It just takes, there's less regulation, and I don't think they catch you as fast. But what happens here, Jonte, it's so obvious.
That's the difference. It's like,
My God.
Someone might still have a complex scheme, but the obvious cases, you can catch in a regulated environment. The illegal bookmaking operation that Ipe's messed up in, they didn't catch him because of any bets he made. They were already investigating this illegal bookmaker that had a huge operation in Florida. Yep. And then his name just came up, you know, like anything. The guy had a file on, and that's how Otani's name got drug into it as well. It's fascinating to see where this is going to, you know, continue to trend moving forward. I just hate anytime these stories come out because it opens the door for all sorts of conspiracies. This will not be the last player that gets busted for doing it or tries to do it and then gets busted. But I just hate it because it opens the door more and more. Like, see? So, like, tonight or tomorrow night, there's play-in games, and some player just happens to have a bad night. And now somebody's like, oh, well, did he just take his unders? You know, I hate that.
Thompson throw a game, he went 0 for 10.
Right. And I hate that stuff, but that's the door that opens up when stuff like this happens. And that's why the NBA had a crackdown the way they did. The biggest threat to any professional sports league is that it's rigged, that it's the integrity of the game crap.
It's, I will say this from like a, not just a college perspective. And this is because we're in the, it's like the NIL thing too. We're a little bit in the wild west of it all. And so I do think slowly more like, okay, this doesn't work. Okay. This does regulatory. We've talked about this when it comes to the way it's promoted on TV. Like, for instance, somebody pointed out that, like, you know, like Shams was reporting on this. He is sponsored by a bookmaker, right? So it's like, it's all just a little too intertwined. It's not that it can't be, but there's just too many connected dots to feel like, because here's the problem. People won't trust all the reports. They're just like, well, this is just one bad apple, you know, like whatever. You just need to like, less all woven together into one big mess.
Look,
that's
the sports leagues having sponsorships is not going to change, and I have no problem with it changing. I think I was on Channel 9 last night talking to Jackson Kurtz. They wanted to talk about this story, and I mentioned to him, I think the biggest complaint I see from people is that it's in your face so much, right? That there's advertisements and stuff all over. That's the big complaint I see from people, is that they just don't like that it's everywhere.
It is everywhere.
As far as like, hey, NBA has a, like, well, that part can you can have advertising regulations. Yeah. Who knows? 10 years from now, it might go the way of how cigarette companies are allowed to advertise, as in they're really not, you know, in terms of all the warnings, and but also like just the way they, if you go and look at a 1970s Marlboro commercial, never in a million years can you do that now, you know, stuff like that.
No,
that's where I think it could trend, where the advertising changes. But the NFL is sponsored by BetMGM. I don't think that should change. That's just part of business. Like, but in terms of the advertising to the general public, yeah, I think that's something that people are going to take a deeper look at, and there'll be some new regulations with that
to,
in the future.
To the point of college, what you're making, Cody, about, you know, just getting rid of it. I know there's some states, I think Wisconsin is one of them, where you can bet in Wisconsin, but you cannot bet on Wisconsin Badgers.
Oh,
you cannot bet on
that's
Marquette. Dumb. Well, no, I don't even, it's not just players. It's just the team. Wisconsin, Marquette,
Illinois has the same thing.
Green Bay, the University of Green Bay, et cetera.
By the way, one thing you can do on the recruiting thing is make it more punishable lawfully. Like, you're in a lot more trouble for threatening an 18-year-old in his DMs because he didn't go to your school.
And that's what, to Drew's point a little bit, like, Ohio already has on the books that you cannot bet on player props in college, but also there are stiff punishments if you're harassing a college athlete on betting, and that's obviously a good thing. Now, the notion, like, Illinois has what you were saying as well, though, which is,
you can't bet on the college, that's just stupid.
I'm sorry. Like, that just makes no sense to me. I guess the idea
is, like, maybe you'd be closer to a person in Illinois more likely.
If you want to get to somebody, you'll get to somebody. Those type of people will get to somebody. Like, that is silly to me. I never understood it. Thank goodness when Kansas passed it, they didn't say, you can't bet on the Jayhawks or the Wildcats, because they're that dumbest thing. Thank goodness they didn't choose that path.
But again, it's like, where do you draw? Like, it's a really difficult line to draw, I would say. You're saying I should be able to bet on the teams. That's dumb. But maybe I should be able to bet on the players. it's hard. You're not
nationwide,
wrong.
Nationwide.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm just saying, like, it is a difficult line to draw. That's all. Like, it's not step for step for every person. I understand you're just saying, hey, no player props, but I can bet on whatever school I want. Great, problem solved. I'm just betting spreads.
That makes more sense.
Because the casual bettor, let's just use Kansas as the example, and this includes Missouri since people come across the state line. Like, the very casual bettor, it's the Super Bowl. They want to bet on their hometown team. Now, it turns out it's been working for them because the Chiefs are good. But in general, whether we were in Ohio or we were in Florida, if you go to Florida and the guy that makes five bets a year, he probably bets on the Rays and the Bucks and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you're like, yeah, man, I know you don't really bet a lot, but the teams you like, you can't even bet on. That's why it's stupid to me. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, but that's just, I don't care if they make less money.
No, I'm talking about the consumer. Yeah. If I'm just a casual, I don't ever bet, but I want to bet on the Chiefs. Imagine if our state was like Illinois and they're like, yep, can't bet on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Sorry.
Go to
Iowa.
That'd be dumb.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to place a UMKC bet.
No, well, I understand.
I guess technically could.
Again, I wouldn't take it that far, but I understand that it's not as easy of a line to draw when we're talking about a lot of like variables that go into it, especially if we're saying, hey, you know, no, not for college players because they're 19 or 20 or easier to get to, which does make sense to me.
Yeah, I think there is a difference between the 32-year-old that's making $20 million a year.
No, but some of them aren't making that. I understand. I think there's a difference too, but it's not. It's a lot of gray.
Yeah.
Tons of gray.
I mean, that's with any market that's regulated. There's going to always be some gray area in how something should be regulated or unregulated or whatever it may be. Anyway, how is the thinking of legal matters?
Hopefully it doesn't get to that point, I'll be honest.
What's up with your apartment, man? Have you moved out yet?
All right, so no, we have not. We're looking into testing. So there has been mold verified in the apartment. They think it's minor.
You told us that. They think it's minor.
They think it's minor. And originally, the idea was if we test it for mold and there is no mold, then we would owe the cost. Well, it turns out there is mold, and now they're saying, because I wanted to confirm today, just because the company's going to come in today or tomorrow. I think it's going to be more like tomorrow, but I wanted to confirm that we won't owe anything regardless of the results. And they're trying to say, well, depending on how hazardous it is, if it's not hazardous, then you're going to pay. And I was like, hang on a minute. The agreement from the beginning was if there is mold, then we're going to take care of you. If there's no mold,
we've already confirmed there's mold. Then,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to say, that's what I'm trying to emphasize.
Do you have that in writing? The mold part? Is that on an email or a text or something?
I sent an email that said, would you accept the results and of the finding? I did say...
That's nonsense.
Would you accept the results? What are we talking about here?
Would you accept the results of a mold test and break the lease? And they never really, in the email response, they never said yes directly, I guess.
Okay, so they gotten back to you on this, whether or not you're paying for the mold test or not? One of our great listeners offered you a much more affordable option.
I know. They did respond to me, and they said... as I said, in person and again below, payment for the test and letting you out of your lease would be determined after the results came back and what my current company has in place for something. And
okay, you need to get them to, in writing, tell you the specific amount of mold that needs to be in your apartment for you to not pay this test. It can't just be like, ooh, it's a little mold, money, please.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy. That's going to be my response is I need... In writing that
I just can't get over the...
Someone just says lawyer up, brother.
I can't... Well, that's the thing. Financially...
Yeah, I got you.
Cannot do it.
I got you. I got you.
Even if it were to win, it's not worth it at this point to do that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much as like you're actually, I think it's more you get a friend or someone that happens to be an attorney to write a nice letter, you know? Write a nice little letter.
Just a little,
a little letter.
Not a cease and desist, just a little, you know, hey.
Yeah, nobody's saying that you need to sue them. It's more that, you know, you're... Letter, here's my you know, there's just, you know, a little scare that I, you know what, I got somebody that's willing to take this potentially.
You told me that if there was mold, I wouldn't owe for the test. There is mold. Now we're just doing the test to determine the depths of it. It's like, if there's any mold in this test, which they've already admitted there's mold, then you should know anything, right? Why would
correct.
You know if there's just like a little, it's just a little bit of mold, man. Sorry. Live your life. This doesn't make any sense to me, Drew. I don't know what the hell's going on down there. Someone says, how much longer do you have on your lease? Is it August, right?
Yes, August.
It's not that long. But
it's not that long, which is why I think lawyering up is not that's
But again,
out
I don't think
question.
It's so much as like, you're not like not going on hiring a lawyer. I think it's someone, you know, a friend, a coworker knows someone that's
someone
an attorney.
Who can just make it sound lawyery.
Someone that's actually a lawyer.
Nah, it could just
no.
It could just have the vibe, dude.
Falsely represent.
For this purpose, it could just be the vibe.
No need to falsely.
That's what I did. It worked great.
No need to falsely represent. I think can you get an actual lawyer with a little letterhead from the law firm that you drop the letter off, or
you know,
that you write an email.
We have a friend who's a lawyer on this show. What? Two friends. One who spent money on an experience for a Cody and Gold garage show I know a couple of years ago. Great guy, I think. He seems like a pretty good guy anyway. Real lawyer. Then there was another person who donated to the Create is Good campaign who's a lawyer, who represented another.
Oh, I still text with one of them.
Pretty famous person in town. So maybe we just have lawyer friends on the show.
Our buddy Chris. Remember Chris?
Yeah, Chris.
Occasionally he'll text me or whatever. So yeah, we've got him on retainer for Drew.
See, for like 20 bucks, he'll chop up a one paragraph letter about this mold for Drew.
Yeah, I think
threatening litigation if things don't go the way.
I don't even think you have vague
threats.
Yeah,
is that what they told me is that when the results came back, and my response to them is, you had somebody from maintenance come into the apartment and you said there's minor growth in the apartment and there's email documentation. You sent me in an email that there was minor growth. So what the hell is going on? Is there or is there not mold? Or do you not know? That's where it is a cluster, you know what, and this place will never get recommendation from me ever.
I gathered that.
And yeah.
Text line, I'm a lawyer. I'll write you a damn letter if it comes down to it. There you go.
Thank you.
That's all. I just need a letter.
Thanks, A16. Just one letter that sounds vaguely.
I almost gave the I'm in radio. I almost gave it.
Oh, you should. You should have dropped that months ago. Are you kidding?
All right. We're back at it tomorrow. We'll have Pete Sweeney on the show. We'll also have Harold Kuntz joining us as we'll get closer and closer to the draft. Plus, what the expectation should be for fans even this weekend at Kauffman Stadium.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.